grab your Bibles this morning, maybe something to write a few notes down, because I want to talk to you this morning about leaving a legacy of faith. And so as we celebrate Memorial Day this weekend and tomorrow, I think this is very appropriate that we talk about leaving a legacy of faith. And so to get us started this morning, I want to ask you a question, okay? And you can respond below if you would like to in the comments, but what do you want to be remembered for? Okay, be honest. Be honest. And I know some of you are going to be creative. Some of you might be tempted to lie a little bit. But what do you want to be remembered for? You can even use our Cornerstone Connect number, 605-215-5150. Feel free to use this to answer our opening question. Feel free to use it if you've got a question about our message or even about our church. We would love to connect with you. And so this morning, I think it's very appropriate as we talk about leaving a legacy, because we lost some influential, important people this week. If you're a follower of Jesus, you may know who Ravi Zacharias is. He's a speaker. He's an author. He's a great apologist, a defender of the faith. We lost him this week. I saw lots of articles and things being posted about him from different ministries, from individuals, and of the influence and impact that he had upon their lives and upon their ministries. And if you're a sports fan, Jerry Sloan, longtime coach of the Utah Jazz, passed away this week. And so even as I listened to a little sports talk radio this week, they had some interviews with former athletes of the Utah Jazz teams and other coaches. And so this week, some notable people that we lost this week, along with more people to this COVID virus. But as we remember this weekend, those who gave their lives for our country, We thank them for their service, their families, for the greatest sacrifice that they could give. And so this morning, as we have this backdrop of remembering those who've gone before us, remembering those who either gave their life or lost their life due to illness, I think it's very appropriate that we talk about leaving a legacy of faith. And so, again, I'm going to ask you, what do you want to be remembered for? That's kind of a sobering thought. Maybe it's not something that we think about very often, but what do you want to be remembered for? And I'm going to come back to that again. So I want you to be thinking about that. If you don't have an answer off the top of your head, I want you to think about it. Now, I don't know about you, but I can think of things that I do not want to be remembered for. Okay? I'm not going to share them with you because, you know, why would I? This is like worldwide. This is the World Wide Web. This is the internet. Okay? Dozens and dozens of people, nay, possibly hundreds, we'll see this. And so I'm not going to share those things with you, but I want you to think about that. What do you want to be remembered for? And what do you hope that you don't want to be remembered for? What do you hope that people forget? Okay. Maybe you have failed spectacularly in your life, or maybe it's something silly. Maybe it's something stupid, but I'm sure all of us have something that we don't want to be remembered for. And we're crossing our fingers that when the time comes, if we thought about it, that people would remember us fondly, remember the best parts of us and the best things that we've done, not the worst. And I think that's pretty normal. I think that's a pretty normal reaction. But remembering, honoring people has been going on as long as civilizations have existed. That's a normal part of our culture, is to celebrate those who have impacted our culture, those who have made contributions. Okay, whether it's cave paintings or chiseling on stone tablets or paintings themselves, or then writing on paper and then digitally. Okay, how we do it today, digitally. No matter how it is, no matter what form it takes, this is something that humankind have been doing for a long, long time, is remembering those that have gone before us, those that have contributed. I mean, it's history. We remember things that weren't so kind, things that weren't so good, weren't so glamorous. It's important to remember our history, but on Memorial Weekend, we are celebrating and honoring those that gave their lives for this country. And this morning, as we look at a legacy of faith, we're going to be looking back at some who left a legacy of faith. And then we're going to be asking ourselves some very personal questions. And so this morning, we want to jump in, grab your Bibles, okay? Go ahead and open to Hebrews if you like. We're going to look at probably what is the most popular and well-known memorial in all of Scripture. Outside of followers of Jesus celebrating Easter once a year, remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the memorial that he left, here we see in Hebrews, which we're going to get to in just a minute, we're going to see a great memorial to people of faith, and we're going to look at it, see why it was written and what we can learn. And so we've already prayed for this message, but I just want to challenge you that you open up your hearts, your minds, your ears, and that you would be challenged by this morning. And if this is a familiar passage, it might be to many of you. Don't tune me out just because you've read it a dozen times or because you've heard messages on this before. But let's jump into it. Let's dive into it this morning as we talk about leaving a legacy of faith. So number one, first thing you want to look at is, what does faith look like? Okay, this is what faith looks like. Okay, it's easy for you to see. What faith looks like. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That sounds maybe kind of bizarre, counterintuitive. Let's read it again. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. In verse 2, it says, this is what the ancients were commended for. And so before we get into reading this memorial faith, here the writer of Hebrews sets this up. Okay, sets it up in a way where he's going to show us what faith looks like. He defines faith in verse 1. It says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And then he sets up this passage. It says, this is what the ancients were commended for. Okay? And so the rest of this chapter is going to define faith for us. You want to know what faith looks like? Well, hey, he's already told you. I'm going to show you what faith looks like. Verse 2, this is what the ancients were commended for. They were commended for their faith. Okay, so this classic memorial of faith, I'm going to summarize the first part of it. We're going to read the last several verses of chapter 11. The classic memorial of faith, it speaks of the universe being formed out of nothing, that what we can see, this something being formed out of nothing. It talks about Abel's sacrifice of faith and him being the very first martyr. It speaks of Noah building an ark when there hasn't even been rain before. He's preparing for a flood, for rain that hasn't even been seen on the earth by its inhabitants up to this point. Abraham leaving his home to follow the call of God to a country he didn't know, to a people he didn't know, leaving his home to follow God. Sarah having this miracle child that God had promised to her and to Abraham when she was beyond age-bearing years. This miracle child, a child that should have been impossible as she neared 100 years old. Okay, Abraham being willing to sacrifice this promise that God had given him, to sacrifice his son, because his trust in God was so great. In this passage, it speaks of Isaac, of Jacob, of Joseph. It speaks of Moses being exiled before becoming Israel's deliverer and Israel's leader. It speaks of the Israel army, the army of Israelites marching around Jericho. People thought they had lost their mind. They're just marching around chanting. Can you imagine that? The armies of Jericho, I'm sure they'd never seen that strategy before. It's like, what are these people doing out of their mind? But scripture here, the writer of Hebrews says, this is what faith looks like. They're obeying God, the army marching around the walls before they fell. Chapter 11 speaks of Rahab the prostitute becoming an instrument of God's deliverance for Israel. Okay, God taking an unlikely person and doing something mighty through her and with her. And she's listed as a hero of faith in chapter 11. And we're going to pick this up in verse 32, and I want you to listen this morning. I want you to listen to the rest of these verses. I'm going to read several. I'm going to read the rest of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, it says, what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead and raised to life again. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute and persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. Verse 39, look at this. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Man, what a passage. What a passage of men and women following the Lord, following God, and God coming through for them. Yet at the end here of this chapter, it says they were all commended for the faith, yet they did not receive what was promised. Yet we saw answers to prayer. We saw promises fulfilled in this passage. So what's it talking about? This isn't saying God didn't keep any of his promises to them, but it meant that not all the promises of God applied to their lifetime. There were promises God kept for their lifetime, but there were still promises that were yet to come, promises that were not fulfilled yet. And the entire book of Hebrews, really, if you read it from beginning to end, you would see it. That would make a little bit more sense. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God keeping his promise through Jesus, and how through Jesus there was something better for the Israelites. There was something better for the Jewish people than what they even had before, to even what some of them were still clinging to. There was something better in Jesus. The promises were ultimately fulfilled in Jesus, and the promise of resurrection and the promise of an eternity with God. And so this was this memorial that was set up. It begins by saying, you want to know what faith is? I'm going to tell you what it is, and then I'm going to tell you what it looks like. So this is what faith looks like, church. You want to know what faith looks like? It is right here, Hebrews chapter 11. That's what it looks like. But why is faith needed? Why was it needed? Why did the writer of Hebrews feel like he needed to write about faith? Well, I'm glad you asked. That's a very important question. Let me give you a little background about Hebrews, okay? Hebrews was possibly written by Barnabas or Silas or Apollos, okay? Grab your beverage of choice. Just take a little drink right now. Relax with me. But some people used to think Hebrews was written by Paul, but it doesn't really fit his style. Evidence doesn't really point that it's one of his letters. And it's not really even a traditional letter, even though it ends a little bit like a letter. It's more what they would have considered at that time or classified a letter essay. It's more of an essay, even though it was written to a particular group of people. But if somebody influential, obviously a Jewish author writing to a predominantly Jewish audience, someone of prominence in the early church, that's why Barnabas, Silas, or Apollos, that's why they are popular authors of this book. No one really knows for sure. Some have their favorites, but Jewish writer to a Jewish audience. But you see all the way through here, this call to persevere. You see Hebrews as an encouragement to stay true to Jesus. This is why faith is needed. We already got a picture of what faith looks like. Now I'm showing you why faith is needed. All the way through here, this book was written before AD 70, the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, because it would have mentioned it as it mentioned persevering in the faith, as it mentioned staying true and standing fast. Most likely written in the mid to late 60s there, AD, but definitely written before AD 70. Okay, but this was a time where Christians were under persecution from Rome. Christians were also under persecution from Jewish leaders of the time that didn't like that Jews, that Hebrews were leaving the traditional faith of Judaism and following Jesus, following who they proclaimed to be the Messiah, is called the Way. In Berea, they were called Christians for the first time. They did not like this, and so they were under pressure, under oppression, not only from the Jewish people, Jewish leaders, but also from Rome itself. So this letter essay, Hebrews, was written to encourage those following Jesus not to give up, encouraging them to hang on. Let's look at a couple of these verses. We're going to go back to chapter 10. Okay, we see this memorial of faith in chapter 11. And at the end of chapter 10, he tells us, this is why I'm getting ready to memorialize great men and women of faith. Look at verse 23 of chapter 10. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the faith, to the hope that we profess. Let us hold unswervingly to this hope that we profess. We see here the writer of Hebrews encouraged people. We got to hang on to this hope. We got to hang on to it. Why? Look at the second part of the verse. It said, for he who promised is faithful. That's how we can hang on to it, because he who promised is faithful. Understanding that those that would read this letter essay were oppressed. Some were being persecuted for their faith. Skip down to verse 35. See what it says. It says, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. So here, this is the setup for this memorial faith. An encouragement by the writer of Hebrews to hang on, man. Hang on. Don't throw away your confidence just because things get bad. Don't throw away your faith just because things have happened that you didn't wish that would happen. Don't throw it away. God's going to come through for you. It's going to be rewarded. And this is a setup for the memorial of faith where people, Abraham's faith was rewarded. We see it with Abraham and Sarah through the promise of their son Isaac, which shouldn't have happened, which was impossible. We see their faith rewarded. Yet at the end of the chapter said, listen, there were promises ultimately that were not fulfilled because it was about Jesus. It was about God keeping his promises to the nation of Israel in Jesus. And then after Jesus, the promise of hope for not only the Jewish people, but for the Gentiles is a hope of the whole world. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he had promised. Faith was necessary for the recipients of the book of Hebrews because of what they were going through. Listen, faith is necessary for you now. If you're a follower of Jesus, faith is very much necessary now. You understand as well as I do that life happens. We live in a sinful, fallen world, and there will be moments where we suffer the consequences of our sin and the consequences of other people's sin. Faith is necessary. That's why it's needed. It's needed because following Jesus is not just about what we see now. Faith is not just about now, but it's also about what he's promised us. It's about the future. If we only judge God based on what we see now, if we only judge God based on our circumstance, we will shortchange the goodness and greatness of God. And we will short-circuit our faith in the process. And we see the writers of Hebrews here saying, listen, don't give up. Don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw away your faith because of what is happening now. You've got to hang on to it because your faith is not just about now. Because there's a pattern. Look back. There's a pattern of God keeping his promises. But we also look ahead because there's promises to come. Okay? That's why faith is needed, because of our present circumstances. And our present circumstances should never inform us of how to react to God. But God, our God, should inform us how to react to our circumstances. And when we get it backwards, that's when chaos reigns in our life. That's when doubt and discouragement and fear, that's when it reigns in our life, is when we get it backwards. God should inform our view of our circumstances. Even if they're bad, we can acknowledge they're bad, but we still have faith in him. We still have faith in him. If faith is needed now, it was needed then, when the writer of Hebrews wrote this, and it's needed now. And that's why he set up this memorial faith. That's why he set it up saying, listen, don't throw away your faith. Because God is a promise keeper. God has come through for his people time and time again, and he's going to come through in the future. And so how do we do this? How is faith accomplished? And we're going to stay in Hebrews. Okay, how is faith accomplished? The memorial to faith was in Hebrews chapter 11, we see the definition of faith, and then we see that in action. We see a picture of this as the writer lists these great men and women of God. We understand in chapter 10 why he wrote it. It's a call to persevere. And then in chapter 12, we see how this is accomplished, how faith is accomplished. Let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Listen, we don't talk like that today. Okay, but this cloud of witnesses, a cloud in that time really is a group of people. It's a crowd. Okay, we don't go to sporting events and go, look at this great cloud around us. No, it's a crowd. That's what he's talking about. So since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. What he's referring to, we have to remember, this wasn't written with chapter and verse numbers. Those were added later just so people could find their way and reference different parts of this letter essay. This was a continual thought. He's saying, listen, because of who came before us, because of these people of faith, because God was faithful to them, we can throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles us. And then look at the rest of verse 1. What do we do at that point? That's when we can live with faith. It says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Man, that's it. You want to know how to live by faith? You remember what God has done, not just for you, but for the entire history of his interaction with mankind. You remember what he's done, and you put your eyes on Jesus. And we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. But because we're surrounded by such a great cloud, by such a great crowd, because of so many that came before us, because time and time again, God has proved his faithfulness through his people, through his relationships with his people, because he's proved that. I mean, let's throw off everything that is holding us back and let's run this race. Let's live this life with perseverance. That's why Hebrews was written as an encouragement, as a call to perseverance. I mean, let's run it with perseverance. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. That means it begins with him. It continues with him. It ends with him. It's all about Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate promise kept by God our Father. God proved his faithfulness in Jesus. That was the ultimate promise kept. It says we fix our eyes on Jesus. And speaking of Jesus, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We are to remember what Jesus did for us. We are to remember him as the ultimate promise kept. We're remembering how he treated his own life, how he treated his own death. He endured it for us because he loved us, but he was looking ahead. So there's an aspect to our faith here that is always backwards looking at God's faithfulness behind us, but it's also forward looking, knowing that he will be faithful to the promises that he's made and that he hasn't kept yet. Because that's what he does. God is faithful. And that should inform our faith. It should instruct our faith that we can live with confidence, that we can live with perseverance as we look upon Jesus as the ultimate promise kept from God. And even Jesus himself, as he endured the unbearable torture, the unbearable pain upon the cross, he was looking ahead. He wasn't joyful because of what was happening. He was joyful for what was coming. He knew the end result. He knew the end result. Excuse me. So as we think about leaving a legacy of faith, listen, I hope your faith is fully informed by Scripture. I hope your faith is robust. I hope you have a faith that can persevere when things aren't quite right. Because time and time again, it is so easy to see people falter in their faith because their faith is not developed. Maybe they don't have the revelation of Jesus that they need. Maybe they've not spent time studying Scripture. How do we keep our eyes on Jesus? And it starts, you've got to study Scripture. Inform your faith by the promises God has kept. Inform your faith with the promises God is going to keep. And remind yourself that Jesus was the ultimate promise kept. And if God did that for us, he's not going to withhold anything else. Maybe he doesn't act as soon as we want him to, but he's not going to withhold his promises now. For Jesus, the promise of the future trumped the pain of the present. And that is to serve as a blueprint for us. The promise of the future trumped the pain of the present. And church, we have got to come to the place where our trust and faith is based upon God, upon what we see in Scripture, what he's already done for us, but also upon knowing that he's going to continue to come through for us time and time again. We got to keep our eyes on the future. Keep our eyes ahead, knowing what is waiting for us. We're not just living for now. Because there is a future joy waiting for us that can fuel our present joy. Listen to that again. There is a future joy that should fuel our present joy. Even though everything in the present may be falling down around us, there is a joy that's coming. There's a future that's coming with Jesus. And that should fuel our present joy, knowing that this isn't all there is. That doesn't mean we live an escapist life, no. But that means we apply our future joy to our current circumstances. And we remind ourselves through study of the Scripture that God is faithful to keep his promises. Because one day we will be with him. If you're a follower of Jesus, one day we'll be with him without the contamination of sin. One day all will be set right. One day if we persevere. And the writer of Hebrews is like, guys, we've got to persevere. Don't throw away your faith. Why? Because God is faithful. And I'm going to remind you of that. God is faithful. Look at all the men and women he was faithful to. Even if there was a greater promise to come in Jesus, even if there's a greater promise to come in heaven, look at all the promises that he kept while they were here. Some experience that more than others, but it doesn't change the fact that God is a promise keeper. And ultimately that was fulfilled in the person of Jesus. And because of that, we know we have a future in him. And so I ask you at the beginning, what do you want to be remembered for? And I'm going to close by asking you, what will you be remembered for? Because what we will be remembered for might be different than what we want to be remembered for. I've got a lot of things I hope maybe I can be remembered for. But my life will inform the memory of me, and hopefully you can live a life that'll be remembered for the things that I hope for. But if you were to die right now, what would you be remembered for? Would it be for a legacy of faith? Followers of Jesus, I'm talking to you. Would your life be remembered as leaving a legacy of faith? Would it be remembered for leaving a legacy of faith in your home? Did you give up on a marriage too soon? Are you a person of faith in your job or your career? Did you follow where God was asking you to go? Maybe there's a call upon your life and you've never followed Him. You've never taken up on that because there's too much uncertainty. Are you leaving a legacy of faith with your kids? Are you leading your kids in faith? Your grandkids, are you influencing them towards the faith? Listen, whatever the situation is, I hope you're leaving a legacy of faith. As a follower of Jesus, I hope you're leaving that in your home, in your family, in your job, your career, in your entire life. I hope you're leaving a legacy of faith. I want to read a couple more verses from Hebrews chapter 10. And this is my prayer for you this morning. And I'm going to pray this for all those who call Jesus Lord, who call Jesus Savior. Verse 37, it says, "For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and not delay." See, he's reminding them, like, hey, Jesus is going to come. He's going to come back. Verse 38 says, "But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." So my prayer is that you will be a person that will persevere. We've talked about what faith looks like. So we've talked about why it's needed. We've talked about how to get it, how to keep it, how to develop it. I mean, it's all about Jesus. So my prayer for you this morning as a follower of Jesus, that you would leave a legacy of faith. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, my prayer is that you find Jesus and you find hope. Because without Him, there is truly no hope. There's truly no hope. So if you have a question about faith, I'd love to connect with you. Use our Cornerstone Connect number, 605-215-5150. Get online. Use our Connect card. I would love to pray with you. I'd love to talk with you more about this. So I want to pray for you this morning. I hope this has been encouragement to you. Guys, don't let your circumstances dictate your faith. Let your faith dictate how you view your circumstances, okay? As we remember those who fought for this country, okay, that is a very important and valuable thing, bringing honor to those to whom honor is deserved. But as followers of Jesus, man, let's also remember those who went before us in this faith. And let that encourage us in our own faith. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I love you. I thank you for your word. I thank you how it challenges us, how it corrects us. God, I pray this morning that you would just rise up faith in everyone who calls you Lord and Savior. That faith would rise in their heart this morning. And that you would help them to see areas where maybe they've not been people of faith. And God, if there is sin in their life, I pray that you would convict them of that. And you would just draw them to you. And God, that they would be challenged this morning to make necessary changes in their life. Lord, I pray that you help all of us to stay focused upon you and what you've done and who you are. You are the author and perfecter of our faith. You're the pioneer of our faith. It begins, it ends, and it's sustained by you. And I pray that for everyone here at Cornerstone Church. I pray that for everyone who's a follower, Lord, that is listening right now. But Lord, I also pray for those that may not know you, that might have just hopped on here by accident. I pray that you would bring them to a place where they recognize their need for you. God, even speak to them in this moment, even if it doesn't make sense to them, that you would supernaturally speak to them and you would draw them to you and they would recognize their need for you. Because God, you can bring hope and joy and peace to them. And I pray that they find it and that whatever it takes, you would bring them to a place of repentance. And so Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you've done in us today. We thank you for your word and we thank you for your church. God, whether we are online, whether we are together in person, God, you are not limited. God, you are not limited by anything. So God, we pray that you continue to work in our church, continue to work in our community, and help us all leave a legacy of faith as you've called us and created us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.